Welcome to Family Policy Matters, an engaging and informative weekly radio show and podcast produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Hi, this is John Rustin, president of NC Family, and we're grateful to have you with us for this week's program. It's our prayer that you will be informed, encouraged, and inspired by what you hear on Family Policy Matters, and that you will feel better equipped to be a voice of persuasion for family values in your community, state, and nation. And now here is our host of Family Policy Matters, Tracy DeVette Griggs.
Thanks for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. What image comes to your mind when you think of the American dream? Well, our guest today contends that the success that most people associate with achieving this dream may most closely connect to the strength of America's families, and that the America we know and love grows fatally weak without strong families. Dr. Brad Wilcox is a professor of sociology and director of the National Marriage Project at the University of Virginia. In June, he published an article in the American Mind entitled First Family, Then Freedom. And we're going to explore that concept with him today. Dr. Brad Wilcox, welcome to Family Policy Matters.
It's great to be here with you all today.
Well, the most recent data shows record low rates for marriage and fertility in the U.S. in both 2018 and 2019. In your recent article, you said, quote, "The decline of the American family has put the success of the American experiment in question." Strong words. So why?
Well, a strong country depends upon strong families. And we know that kids are more likely to flourish, that men and women are more likely to be doing well economically and otherwise, when marriage grounds and guides our lives. So the fact that we have seen these record declines in marriage and fertility in the country in recent years is cause for concern.
Dr. Wilcox, you talk about the success sequence. What is that, and why has it been found to be so important?
The success sequence is the idea that we should take three steps as we move into adulthood. The first is to complete our education. It could be vocational training or a college degree. The second is to work full time. The third is to marry, and doing these things before we have children. So I think particularly, you know, for our audience today, thinking about putting marriage before the baby carriage. And young adults who do that today, even today, are much more likely to avoid poverty and much more likely to realize the American dream, moving into middle class or higher. In fact, young adults today who follow this sequence have only a 3% risk of being poor by the time they reach their late 20s or their early 30s. So again, it's sort of education, work, marriage in that order before having children.
Well, when we talk about reducing poverty in America, why do you believe it's important that solutions should serve to also strengthen marriage?
Well, you know, I think a lot of people on the left and the right agree that education and work are crucial for forging a strong economic future here in America today. Where there's less agreement is sort of how marriage kind of fits into all this, whether marriage per se is important when it comes to economic outcomes for Americans and their kids today. And what I think we need to just stress here is that the data is clear. We see in our research, for instance, that young adults who marry before having kids are about 60% less likely to end up poor compared to their peers who put, put childbearing before marriage. So the idea here is that marriage, because it brings two adults together, because it engenders a sense of stability, tends to lift the economic fortunes of young adults and especially their kids. We know, for instance, that basically kids in single-parent families are about four times more likely to be in child poverty compared to married parents. And that's partly because kids with married parents have access to more income, and they have access to greater financial stability as well, because those two parents can draw not just on their own ability to work, but also on the resources of their own parents and kin more generally.
So you also say in your article, again, the name of that is First Family, Then Freedom, you say that marriage is strongly associated with the rule of law in communities. What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is we know that young men are more likely to, avoid trouble with the law if they're raised in a stably married family, you know, with a father present. We know that neighborhoods that have more married parents or more two-parent families are more likely to be safer and to have lower rates of incarceration. So there's just a lot of evidence out there, basically, that strong families promote the rule of law at both the individual, the community, and the state levels.
So in your research, you also found a connection between employment, depression, and marriage. Talk about that.
So, yeah, there's a good deal of research that's emerging, basically, that suggests to us that, you know, we've been reading about all these deaths of despair in America, that unfortunately many Americans, especially many working class men, are basically committing suicide or using drugs or alcohol to excess and ending up dying because of substance abuse. So again, we're hearing about all these deaths of despair across the United States. And what's clear in the research is that unmarried men, men who are either never married or men who are divorced, are more likely to end up committing suicide directly or basically killing themselves by drinking themselves or using drugs to excess. The point here simply is that the growth of non-marriage among working class Americans has proved fatal for many Americans across this country.
So you mentioned that these policies that contribute to the decline in strong families are not confined to one political party. So explain that a little bit.
Well, you know, I think people like myself who've been writing about family issues and thinking about them for a long time have tended to kind of finger cultural developments as the primary cause for our family predicament today. And in that regard, the left bears the lion's share of the blame for what's been happening to our families. But I think it's important for us to understand and acknowledge that economic changes in American life that have undercut working class jobs also are implicated in the decline of marriage in working class communities across this country. We know, for instance, that the Chinese movement into the World Trade Organization in 2001 led to the loss of about 1 million decent paying, great jobs across this country of ours. And that in turn led to more divorce, more non-childbearing, and more single parenthood. And that support for free trade with China was part and parcel of the Republican agenda and has been for many years since then. So I think you have to recognize that sort of the idea that all we need to do is kind of minimize regulations, bring tax rates down, and talk about freedom and liberty, as many Republicans have in the last 40 years or so, is no longer enough. We have to pursue a new agenda when we're talking about conservatives or Republicans, and that new agenda would incorporate being much more aggressive in pursuing educational and economic policies that lift up the economic fortunes of working class families. The challenge facing Democrats is that, you know, more generally, they're focused on redistribution rather than on work and marriage. And I know that there is some openness on the part of Republicans, for instance, to fixing the marriage penalty that a lot of us see playing out in policies like Medicaid, where there hasn't been kind of a comparable effort on the part of Democrats to, you know, really address things like the marriage penalty and our means-tested programs and policies like Medicaid. So I think the Democrats could be more attentive to the ways in which our public policies today tend to penalize marriage, and also more attentive to the importance of shifting our focus when it comes to education away from college and towards vocational education. So I mean, I think both parties have been falling down when it comes to, you know, doing more to strengthen and highlight the importance of vocational education for young adults.
If you would, I mentioned the marriage penalty to someone the other day, and they looked at me very strangely. Could you talk a little bit more about what you mean by that?
In America, we have means-tested programs for a lot of our programs serving lower-income families. So when it comes to Medicaid, for instance, which is actually the biggest means-tested program now in America today, what Medicaid does is it provides free medical care to low-income families, and it has a threshold. But what that means, basically, is that it's a lot easier for families where, say, the mom is earning $15,000 and the dad is earning, say, $35,000, you know, at sort of working class jobs, and their total income then obviously would be around $50,000. For that couple with, say, two children, and I spoke to a couple like this in Virginia a little while ago, they can access Medicaid if they only apply with the mom, you know, with the mother and the two kids. But were they to marry and come forward with a joint income of $50,000 and two kids, they would not be eligible for Medicaid. So what's happening is that a lot of working class families nowadays are just cohabiting rather than marrying, partly because they have kind of the knowledge, either explicit or implicit, that marrying would disqualify them from accessing things like free medical insurance through Medicaid. And this family that I was just mentioning here in Virginia, the father did not have access to health care through his company. And so the only kind of inexpensive way for them to get medical care was to use Medicaid. And so they are not married, in large part because marrying would force them to get rid of their medical insurance. So this is the kind of thing that I think confronts a good number of working class couples with kids today in America. And it's a crying shame that we force people to choose between things like marrying and providing medical insurance to their kids.
Another thing that you said earlier was you talked about being stably employed, and I've done some reading about that and the gig economy, of course, which is people that are maybe more contract workers, lack of stability. Why is that such an issue, do you think, in marriage?
What we see is that for ordinary Americans, having particularly the husband stably employed is a big predictor of A, getting married in the first place, B, staying married in the second place. So when the man is not stably married, the couple is much more reluctant to lock it in with a wedding. And when he loses a full-time stable job, they're much more likely to descend into a cycle of conflict, disappointment, and divorce, ending in divorce, you know. So it's kind of a vicious cycle. So that's why I think we should be concerned by a new economy that's much more unstable for many Americans.
So you mentioned a couple of times also education, that is a primary tool for influencing marriage. So what specific education policies, any more than that you haven't spoken about yet?
To be more precise, you know, what I've seen, and I have a large family, got 9 kids, and they're all very different from one another. And what we've seen kind of in our community is that kids who are not in that college track just don't get the same time and attention and consideration in, you know, many public schools and many private schools as well, actually. And that's the tragedy, because not everyone has the orientation, the inclination to attend a 4-year college or university. And we spend a lot more money at the federal level and the state level and the local level on preparing our young adults for college than we do on preparing them for a vocational path, you know, like doing IT work, advanced manufacturing, you know, plumbing, working in the food service sector, et cetera. So concretely, there are programs like career academies, for instance, rolling out across the United States. And these programs provide high quality vocational training to young adults who are not in that college track. And they give them skills and opportunities and often lead to apprenticeships with real employers that can get them on the track to a good paying middle income job. And we need to see a greater focus from our local schools, our state education agencies, and the federal U.S. Department of Education to increase our focus and our support for these kinds of vocational educational efforts.
We're just about out of time for this week. But before we go, Dr. Wilcox, where can our listeners go to learn more about your research?
FamilyStudies.org is a great place to go to see more about the research that I do and my colleagues at the Institute for Family Studies. And then you can also follow me on Twitter, WilcoxNMP.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Brad Wilcox, Director of the National Marriage Project at the University of Virginia. Thank you so much for being with us today on Family Policy Matters.
Thanks for having me today. It's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to Family Policy Matters. We hope you enjoyed the program and plan to tune in again next week. To listen to this show online and to learn more about NC Family's work to inform, encourage, and inspire families across North Carolina, go to our website at ncfamily.org. That's ncfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and your family.